Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
Again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. Verse 2. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. Verse 3. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. Verse 4. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. Verse 5. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven them. I want to talk to you for a few moments today on the subject of faith. Beyond the door. You may be seated. This is a wonderful story. Not only the exciting story of a man being healed. This man was in dire straits. When you look at the Greek, at the word palsy, it translates paralyzed or paraplegic. He was totally paralyzed and helpless. It's not just the story of a man being healed. It is actually the paradigm for everyone that comes to Christ. The pattern for conversion. The pattern for what Christ called being born again. I saw Franklin Graham this morning in regards to the flood in the Carolinas. And they were asking about Samaritan's Purse, which does such a wonderful thing. But I love Franklin because they wanted to talk to him just about the Samaritan's Purse. And he wanted to talk to them and explain that everybody is going to die. And if you don't know Jesus Christ, you're lost. And they kept trying to divert him, and he wanted to preach the gospel. America's changed drastically. Billy Graham, for years, was the most beloved figure in America. But in today's America, Franklin Graham is now the most hated man in America. Not because he doesn't reach out and help those that are poor, or those that are in calamity and storms, but simply because he refuses to compromise the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bible said they would hate you because they hated him. Christ is still the God incarnate, and the message of the church is not government cheese and helping in storms. Those are good things to do, but the message of the church is Jesus Christ and him crucified. To those that perish, it is foolishness. But to we which believe, it is the power of God unto salvation. And so this is a wonderful story about a man coming to Christ. And that's what every person must do. It would have been very convenient for the four that brought this man to simply join the multitude outside and complained about the lack of organization of Christ's ministry. But they were motivated. I believe the four that were so dutiful in carrying him and getting him to Christ were motivated by the man on the cot. He was the man with the need, and he recognized that he had a need. That Christ was not the last resort, he was the only resort. Friend, you must understand that Jesus Christ is the only way, the only resort. He's not one of several. He's not one of a few. He is the only way. Heaven is going to be full, but it's not going to be crowded. God knows exactly what he's doing. A paraplegic was able to convince four that he had to get in the presence of God. It was not convenient when you get there and the crowd is so great that the door is blocked. It's not convenient. Christianity was never meant to be convenient. It did not start with convenience for Christ when he died on that cross. If salvation was a convenient message, Felix would have been saved. But he realized it was inconvenient. He said, at a more convenient time, Paul, I will call for thee and hear thee again. But he never did. It never became convenient. You see, salvation in Christ, the kingdom of God, is a real rare breed of people. It's people that knock on the door. It's people that continually seek and continuously ask. It's not for those that are nonchalant. There is no nonchalance in Christianity. There's a reason why Christ said, the kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. You must be one that hungers. You must be one that seeks. You must be one that thirsts. You must be like the psalmist David. Your heart, your soul, your spirit must thirst after the Lord like a deer would thirst and pant after the water at the brook. And so when we look at this, this is a matter of overcoming. Jesus said, this is the peace, this is the faith that overcometh the world. Jesus Christ has given us the tools to overcome every obstacle that would be between us and Him. But it's up to us to take the tools that Christ has made available and say, I will not be denied. I will touch the face of God. I will feel the virtue of Jesus Christ. My life will be transformed regardless of circumstance or people. When we read this story, they're all there. All the people that would stop people from coming to Christ. Friend, you have to realize that the path to Christ is not always littered with ease, but sometimes there are great obstacles, and those obstacles many times manifest themselves in people. You've got to be able to tell everybody no and Jesus yes. You've got to be able to choose Christ over family, friends, and influence. Here was a man laying on a cot, totally paraplegic, totally paralyzed, but he had such a will to live that nothing would be denied him. He would come to Jesus Christ. The crowd was all there. You see, there are always people that are interfering with your relationship with God. The Bible tells us that there were three groups there. There were the doctors, there were the Pharisees, and there was the multitude. The doctors represent the wealthy, the Pharisees represent the religious, and the multitude represent the general population. You cannot let those that outnumber you influence you. You've got to be able to say, I alone will seek Christ. It doesn't matter what my family, my neighborhood, the consensus is, I will seek Christ for myself. It has to mean more to you than all the world. You can't let the religious crowd say, it doesn't take all of that. You have to seek out truth. Jesus at the well, talking to the woman that was a serial adulterer, bypassed the crowd and said, it's just between you and me. You've got to make up your mind. Nobody is saved in a crowd. We're all saved individually. Somebody coined the phrase that God has no grandchildren, which means you're not saved because of your mother or your father or your family. You have to make a decision. I'm going to get into the presence of God no matter what it takes. You're going to have to realize, like the psalmist David, as popular as he was, they wrote songs about him. He realized that that did not satisfy the ache of the heart or the hunger of the soul. He said, only in the presence of the Lord do I find my fullness and my joy. Friend, I want to tell you that there will be a multitude of people that will come and run interference between you and Christ, but you've got to make up your mind. There is no such thing as a nobody in Jesus Christ. Nobody has any kind of a step because of their influence. When people die that are famous or rich, when people die that are powerful, when people die that are talented, we automatically put them in the presence of God, regardless of the fact that they have never attested to being born again or saved. We think because they can hit a high note or because they can score 50 points in a basketball game that they have to be included into the kingdom of God. That's simply not true, ladies and gentlemen. You will not go to heaven because you have a winsome personality or because you've got a large bank account. It's only that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I talked to somebody on the phone some time ago, and they said, oh, you missed the greatest conference. All the Christian celebrities were there. sometimes when people say things against or say things, it just goes against the very nature that I have. And that phrase I'd never heard mentioned before, Christian celebrities. That's totally at the antithesis of what Christianity is about. There is no such thing as Christian celebrities. Friend, we are all in the sight of God as one. He is no respecter of persons. When we realize that this man was at the very bottom of the pecking order, but he was the one that came into the presence of Almighty God. Perhaps it was a concerted effort to keep this man from Jesus because of his lack of status. He was just a cripple that nobody was concerned about. But there was a crowd at the door. It might have been because the crowd was so big, or it might have been a concerted effort, a planned effort to keep those that are less fortunate, those that are less talented, those that are less wealthy from getting into the presence of God. The worldly problem of higher personalities that exist in the world, it exists in the church, and I hate it. I cannot stand it. When somebody told me that I was sending $800 a month, that he was not reaching everybody in Houston, he was going for the elite. He told me, the pastor, I want people that drive Cadillacs, Lincolns, and Mercedes. And he said, I check the parking lot every Sunday to see how I'm doing with the higher echelon of Houston, Texas. I never sent him a never dime. Not only that, I never took another call from him. He and I are a different breed. I believe that Jesus Christ died for everybody equally. It's whosoever will. Jesus had a problem with his disciples. Remember when they got hungry, they wanted to send the hungry multitude away. Remember when the woman with the issue of blood was coming to Christ, they wanted to keep her away. Remember when the little children that were probably ill-kept were coming to Christ, they want to send them away. But Jesus Christ, every time, defied that personality conscious complex, said, suffer the little children to come to me. Let the woman with the issue of blood have a handful of my garment. Don't send the hungry multitude away. Feed them where they are. The common people heard Jesus gladly. When a first famous person dies, we say they're saved automatically. No, they're not. If they're not washed in the blood of Jesus, they're not saved. If they're not filled with Christ's Spirit, they are none of His. Those that are down and out are Jesus' priority. The Bible said that when Jesus heard them discussing about the different levels of society, he said unto them, they that are whole need no physician, and they that are sick do not need those that are not sick don't need a doctor. But he said, I have come to call them to righteousness and the sinner to repentance. I've come to those that are in need. This situation was appalling to the doctors. It was appalling to the Pharisees. It was appalling to the multitude, but it was right up Jesus Christ's alley because he died for those that could not help themselves. And when it became noised abroad, there is a man tearing the roof off. What kind of a man is he? Is he rich? No. Is he famous? No. Is he anybody with talent? No. In fact, he is paralyzed. Stand back. We're getting ready to have the occasion for which I'm going to die on the cross for. It's going to be unfolded right here. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't care who you are or what your problem is. Jesus Christ died for you. There was some celebrity, Christian so-called, on television that wrote a song, and the name of the song is, I'm the best thing that ever happened to Jesus. I didn't even read the lyric because I was so appalled by the title. Friend, I'm not the best thing that ever happened to Jesus. I'm the paralyzed person on a cot that could not help himself. But I have this one resource that I know that my only help and my only hope is to come to Jesus Christ, to get into his presence. That's the reason why we do not make an effort to appeal to those that are the richest in San Antonio, or the most influential, or the most famous. Somebody said to me, a long time ago, we used to have a Major League Baseball player come to this church, and I never mentioned that fact. And a friend of mine said if he was in so-and-so's church, he would be celebrated. We cannot celebrate your status in this world, because that's not what this church is about. This church is about those that cannot help themselves. those that are dying lost, those that are sick the doctors can't heal, those that have got an addiction they can't break, and we want to bring them to Christ. I find myself not as the multitude or a doctor or a Pharisee. I find myself as a cot carrier. The only thing I want to do is get people in the presence of Jesus, because I know that no humanity that truly comes in contact with Jesus Christ can remain the same, because Jesus Christ will always change them. The multitude is always a barrier. You've got to get through that multitude. What most people say, what most people do. Friend, we are not traveling in a troop. We're not traveling in a group. We're on a solo journey, and God sees us all by ourselves. What do you say to Him? I say, Jesus, I need your help. Jesus, I can't do it by myself. I can't die by myself, because I can't even live by myself. I can't go to heaven by myself, because I can't even conquer earth by myself. Jesus, I need that ever-present help. I need your strength. I appeal to you. That's the reason why I pray to you. That's the reason why I worship you. That's the reason why I adore you. That's the reason why I confess there is none like Christ. That's the reason why I say His name is above every name. My confidence is totally in Him. I believe He is the only sin forgiver. I believe He is the only way maker. I believe He is the only soul saver. I believe He is the only way to heaven. I believe He is the only door. Praise God. And so, Jesus, I'm here today. I don't boast of what I've done and what I've accumulated. I say I am nothing, but thank God somebody someday carried me through the multitude. And when the door was not open to me, they had enough faith, said, we will get beyond the door. There's always a door outside of the door. Jesus is the inner door. The problem you have is not with Christ. It's that outer door that's blocked by people and circumstance and things, but you've got to get violent. You've got to get big faith. You've got to say, I will not be denied. I'll pray till heaven comes down. I'll seek until God answers. I'll call until heaven hears. I will see Jesus Christ. And the Bible said it this way when He saw their faith. Jesus always responds to faith. I believe that He is, and He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And so in a time when the Christian faith is becoming nonchalant, and if you'll just show up and put something in the offering plate and stand at the appropriate time and swoon at the talent that's on the platform, you will be included by the pulpiteer. I reject that theory. I believe that every man and every woman must be born again. You must know Jesus Christ for yourself. You must show God your faith. You must seek the face of Almighty God. You must love God with all of your heart. You must tell God that He means everything to you. You must join with the apostle and say, nothing can separate me from the love of God. Not things present, not things past, not things future, not things high, not things low. Nothing can separate me from the very presence of God. You see, Jesus always goes to the root cause. He saw that man as they lowered him down through that roof and set him down in His presence. He didn't talk about his paralysis. He talked about his sin. Jesus Christ always goes to the root cause. He said, thy sins be forgiven thee. He realized that sin is always paralyzing. Sin is not liberating. Sin is not freedom. Sin is not joy. Sin is binding, blinding, and grinding, somebody said. And Jesus recognized that this man had sin in his life, and so He simply said, thy sins be forgiven him. And when He said that, the Pharisees and the doctors took exception and said, who can forgive sins except God only? The truth is, the only men that knew who that was standing there was the man on the cot and the four men that lowered him. The Pharisees, even though they're religious, didn't know who stood before him. The doctors didn't know. The multitude didn't know. But this little man laying there paralyzed on that cot knew that he was in the presence presence not just of a man, but he was in the presence of the Son of God, of the God incarnate that lived in the flesh of Jesus Christ. Friend, you have to know who Jesus Christ is to come out of your paralysis. You have to know who Jesus Christ is to come out of your sin. Who do men say that I am? There's a variety of answers, but the only winning answer is, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. It's not Muhammad. It's only Jesus Christ. Jesus, the Lord of my salvation, he is in this building today. I ask you, what keeps you from stepping into the presence of the Lord? If you will get totally in the presence of God on a Sunday morning, your Monday will change. Your Tuesday will be different. Your entire week will be reorchestrated if you'll simply press in into the presence of God. You say, well, I'm just part of the crowd. Well, I'm never a part of the crowd. I'm always the woman that wants the issue to be resolved. I'm always Bartimaeus that's saying, somebody's saying, you're too loud, you're too noisy, please quieten down. And the Bible said, even the more so, he cried out louder, Son of God, have mercy on me. Ladies and gentlemen, this is not a Spurs game without a ball. This is not a Cowboys game without a football. This is the house of God. It's all right to get zealous here. It's all right to get intense here. It's all right to get violent here. It's all right to call on his name. It's all right to let tears flow down your cheek and drop on your chest. It's all right to give the Lord a shout. It's all right to step out from the crowd and say, you might be somewhat contained, but I'm going to tear the roof off. I'm going to get in the presence of Almighty God. Religion always rationalizes away the power of God. Friend, if you listen to religion, you'll die in your sins. If you listen to religion, you'll stay in your paralysis. If you listen to religion, you'll miss heaven. Because religion always rationalizes the way of the power of God. But when you begin to talk about who Jesus Christ is, this house was not built for Pentecostalism or Catholicism or Baptism. This is a Jesus house, praise God. For only Jesus can take away your sins. Only Jesus can heal your body. Only Jesus can reverse your destination from hell to heaven. Jesus is the only way. He's in this house. His name is Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The Bible said when they reasoned in their hearts against God and said, how can he forgive sins? Jesus perceived their thoughts. Ladies and gentlemen, maybe nobody else in this world can, but Jesus reads the language of the heart. He knows what your heart is saying. And every day I work on my heart that I will not be caught up with the cares of this world. I will not accept the accolades of this society. And I will not worship at the altar of accumulation. But praise God, every day my heart will seek after God. It will seek after the face of Jesus Christ. In my heart I've hidden the word of God. In my heart there is a praise. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. And I say, God, I love you. I want to find ways to praise you. I want to exhaust every known way to praise you. And what it is, I want to invent new ways to praise you, because you are my life. You are my joy. You are my peace. You are my hope. And I know that you read the language of my heart. Praise God. Let me not just sing a song, but let me make a melody in my heart. Let me say in my heart that God is good all the time. Let me say in my heart that it's God that has redeemed me and not religion. Praise God. God can read the language of the heart. There is no marginalizing God's power. They said, oh, how can he say thy sins be forgiven thee? And Jesus said, which is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or rise up and walk? You cannot marginalize the power of God. Away with all so-called Christians that say the Lord can save you when he die. But while you live, he will not and cannot do a thing. The same God that's got me in his hand when I die has got me in his grasp while I live. He is my provider. He walks with me and he talks with me. He's my lawyer, my counselor. He is my doctor, praise God. He's healed my body when the doctors have given me bad reports. And there are Christians that say that no longer happens. You cannot marginalize the power of God, which is easy to say. You're going to heaven when you die, or right now you're healed. Rise up and walk. God is saying to somebody in this building right now, you don't have to tarry for another day. Today is the day. Now is the time. Somebody within the sound of my voice could have your body healed. You said, well, my other pastor said God doesn't do that anymore. This is not a pastoral conflict. This is what the Word of God says. He said, I sent my Word to heal you. Lay hands on them and pray for them in the name of Jesus Christ, and I will raise them up. Jesus Christ is a healer. He's in this building right now. Somebody that's in pain while I'm speaking ought to tear the roof off of this service and get into the presence of God, and your arthritis would be gone. Your anemia would be gone. Your sickness would be gone. Your heart palpitations would cease because there's a healer in the house. All you've got to do is recognize there's somebody in the doorway that's stopping you. There's a multitude. There's a conflict. There's a Pharisee. There's a doctor. There's somebody that doesn't want you to get what God has for you. Regardless of how it dresses up, it's still the devil. The devil simply doesn't want you to get in the house. And so he's blocked the door. So many people are offended at the door and they go away. This man could have been offended, but he gave commission to those four people. We don't have to go through the door. We don't have to go through the window. Take me up higher. I'll tear the roof off by my sheer will. Somebody in this building right now ought to tear the roof off and get in the presence of Almighty God and walk out of this building feeling better than they felt in 10 years. The pain is gone. The affliction is gone. The sin is gone because this is Jesus' house. Where are you, people of God, that will not be denied? Will you tear the roof off with your praise? Will you tear the roof off with your gratitude? Will you tear the roof off with your hope and your faith and say, I know that Jesus is in this house and I will not be denied. I'm coming into God's presence. Nothing can resist the power of God to raise you up. The multitude can't keep you out. The Pharisees can't keep you away. The doctor can't stop you. It's all on you. What do you say? Am I going to be denied, or am I going to catch a handful of God's hem and get the healing that I need to resolve this issue? It's all about you. You said it's not normal. It's not normal to tear the roof off, but praise God, it works. Whatever I do, I have to get in the presence of Jesus Christ. That's the reason why I worship a little longer and I praise a little stronger. That's the reason why I'm a little more emotional. That's the reason why I come a little more often. That's the reason why I pray without ceasing. That's the reason why I confess that God's word is unadulterated and every word is true, that his promises are yea and amen. I believe that God will do what he said he did. I believe that God, what he was, he still is. Yeah, I believe that his power is still available today. He's still able to shake my body back to health. He's still able to take my sins away. He's in this building right now. Somebody ought to reach down, tear the roof off, and get a miracle in your life. Give God some praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, immediately, is the time to overcome your paralysis. That was his problem. He was paralyzed. Some people are paralyzed in the presence of God. You've got to start somewhere. Move a finger. Move a hand. Shake a leg. Stretch forth an arm. Somehow belie the paralysis and believe that the power of God is going to start at my head. And it's going to begin to emanate through my body. My eyelids are going to flutter. My tongue is going to begin to lick my lips. My arms are going to begin to move. I'm going to lift up his name. I'm going to begin to say, Jesus. While the doctors and the lawyers are discussing the methodology, I'm going to be saying, Jesus, you're my healer. You're my healer. I just got to praise and I can't keep it to myself. and the arms begin to move, and the chest begins to move more freely, and the breath comes deeper, and it moves through my loins and my legs and my kneecaps until I'm wiggling my toes. You don't need a doctor to stick a pin and say, "Feel that?" Praise God, the paralysis is gone. You can't stay in the bed any longer. You got to get up and praise Jesus Christ. The multitude is concerned. The doctors and lawyers are forbidden, but you simply don't care. You're the dying, paralyzed man, and you know that you are in the presence of the Creator. You're going to get up off that cot for the first time for a long time because Jesus says you can. I want to tell you today in this audience, Jesus said you can. He said you're more than a conqueror. He said that you're an overcomer. Overcome your pain. Overcome the resistance. Overcome your flesh. Overcome the multitude and the doctors and the lawyers. Somebody in this house right now needs to leap up on your feet and take a handful of heaven and pull it down into your life and say, "I'll never, never, never be the same again. I'm forever changed by the power of God." Will you stand on your feet, reach toward heaven as high as you can, and praise God just as deeply as you can. Hallelujah. The question remains in the moments, closing moments of this service: what is stopping? Or perhaps, who is stopping you? Who is blocking the door? You see, Jesus Christ is the ultimate door, but there's always a door to get to the door. Jesus Christ in no wise will cast you out. But many of them are just turned away sadly at the door. It would have been easy to carry him back home. Got back to a little child that had never seen his daddy walk. A mother that hadn't had a physical husband in 10 years. What's the report? The crowd was too big. The door was blocked. We just couldn't get in. But friend, when he stopped in that yard to put a for sale sign on a hospital bed, picked up his little children and hugged them for the first time in a dozen years, embraced his wife for the first time in a long time, they knew that he had been in the presence of Jesus Christ. I want to tell you, Jesus Christ does not make a difference in everybody's life because everybody won't let him. But he makes a difference in somebody's life because somebody always refuses to be lost in the crowd. They refuse to be a part of the multitude. They simply persevere. When the door is blocked and the windows are sealed, they say, "We will disconstruct this house if we want to, but we will get in the presence of Jesus Christ." Friend, if you've got a problem in your life, when you woke up this morning, that problem was paramount in your mind. If it was the pain in your body or the lack of finance or the job or the family or the marriage or 100 different things, you've just got a problem. Friend, I want to tell you, the multitude will never resolve it for you. The wealthy will never come to your aid. And religion will never solve your crisis. There's only one. His name is Jesus Christ. But it won't come conveniently. It might not come easily. It will come when you become violent in your faith, when you won't quit knocking on the door, you won't quit calling his name, you won't quit seeking his face. Something will happen, and every devil will be dispelled. And praise God, you can walk out of that circumstance today with only the aid of Jesus Christ. If you're in this building today and you found yourself anywhere in this little picture that I have projected, I want you to step out of your chair right now and come down here and say, "I'm coming for salvation. I'm coming for healing. I'm coming for deliverance. I'm coming for my marriage. I'm coming for my body."